Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Five Times Podcast. To see a legend near you, check out the events page on our website, fivetimes.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Ellie's in Grigsby for another Five Times Podcast with me, Neil Mellor. Busy show for you this week as we look back at a headline-grabbing 12 months in the job for Jurgen Klopp, looking back on the victory at Swansea and also looking forward to Manchester United also. Take a look at the website, Five Times, for a long list of events coming to a town near you involving our former players. A few new dates announced this week in the lead up to Christmas. But there's loads coming up all across the UK and further afield. Jamie Carragher is coming to the USA next month. Robbie Fowler heading out to Australia and New Zealand next month also. So take a look, fivetimes.co.uk, for all those events. On to the podcast then tonight. There's a midfield theme going on. A former European Young Player of the Year and one who had a brush with Hollywood also. All before he came a firm fans' favourite with Liverpool, John Walk joins us. The current League One Player of the Month from Bolton, Jay Spearing, will be on the show. Mark Lawrenson's going to be picking his Liverpool five-a-side dream team also. All our thoughts and prayers go out to Rigobert Song, who we hope can make a speedy recovery from all the former players and everyone involved with the Five Times and wider afield, the Liverpool FC family. We wish him well and a speedy recovery. Let's get on with the show for the Five Times podcast with me, Neil Mellor.
To hear previous podcasts, check out and rate our page on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
Okay, on with the show. First up, warm welcome to former Red Don Hutchison. Evening, Hutch. I imagine it's been a busy time for you. Rollercoaster of emotion. Lots going on with the arrival of your twin boys. How are they?
Oh, the twin boys are great, Neil. They're 4 months old. First couple of weeks, I ain't going to lie, was hard. I had no sleep whatsoever. But now they're settling down. I'm getting a little bit of sleep and I'm taking in a lot of football. Still ain't playing golf. I had no time for that, but it's only round the corner.
Good stuff. Well, let's talk about Jurgen Klopp. It's a year, the anniversary on Saturday, since he's been here. What have you made of how he's done so far?
I think he's done great. I mean, he's hardly spent any money. I think the players that he sort of brought in, I know a couple of them, you know, I do a lot of comms on the Bundesliga, and they're very, very good. Mm-hmm. I think Karius is an upgrade on Mignolet. I think there's decent competition there. Matip's doing quite well at the same time. So I tell you what, the impression I get, and you guys might know a little bit better than me, you know, being up on Merseyside, because I'm obviously down in London, is the players have got total trust in him. And it's like whatever he says is like the Pied Piper. The players are just getting on with it and going with him. And they look super fit this season, I must say.
Do you think that the super fitness has been one of the huge differences if you turn back like a year ago after the 1-0 draw against Everton? Seemed a little bit deflated, a little bit flat. But 12 months on after that victory against Swansea, it seems a real different feel about the place now.
Yeah, I spoke to Jason McAteer in the summer and he was privy to a little bit. I'm sure you are as well, Neil, privy to the pre-season regime. And you know, Jason was telling me that the players were doing three sessions a day and they were checking into a hotel in the afternoon, you know, in central Liverpool just to try and get a couple of hours sleep because we were back training at 5:30. Now, we've all had hard pre-seasons, whether it's, you know, I've been in the army barracks when I was at Hartlepool and up and down the dunes and this, that and the other. And there's different ways of doing pre-season. But I tell you what, the start of the season, I tell you what, they've come out of the traps really well. And I'm looking at people like Adam Lallana especially. And he looks really, really fit. I know he's just picked up a little injury, but his form has been terrific.
I think the question after that has to be, that it's been a super start. Can Liverpool maintain it?
That's a big question, mate, isn't it? It's like, you know, they've had a difficult pre-season, a really hard one, and it's you get up and running, you come out of the traps really fast, and do you suffer a little bit of burnout now? Hopefully, you know, Liverpool can stay in the title race, because I do think they'll be contenders this season. The competition's excellent in the Premier League, and if you can get to January, you know, still in touch or, you know, or whatever, points total-wise, and then maybe spend a little money to try and kick on, you know, who knows this season? I mean, you know, after what Portugal done in the Euros and what Leicester done last year, you can't say never anymore in the Premier League, so it can be done.
Statistically, we all love a stat, and obviously you can misread them and get a little bit carried away, but compared to 12 months ago, we have 4 more points, 10 more goals, 2 more wins, second in the table, compared to 10th last season. I think the stats certainly read great, looking at the ones which I've quite liked: joint top scorers, most shots on goal, most chances created, most kilometres run, most passes, most sprints. Most importantly, though, they've been producing the results as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I do like a stat myself. I'm not massively sold on
as
them.
As many
I
mean, as that?
I think, like you said, Neil, I mean, I look at stats sometimes when I see them on the TV and it doesn't tell the bigger picture. You know, kilometres run doesn't really tell you what you've actually done on the ball and your chances created and this, that and the other. And, you know, I played under a manager years ago and he was obsessed with getting crosses in, and he told our wingers he wanted 15 crosses in from the left-hand side and 15 crosses in from the right-hand side. And all they'd done from the halfway line was just punt balls in the box just to get their sort of tally up. So you can sort of, you can misread them slightly, but the ones you just mentioned there, I mean, they're first class, aren't they? You can't argue with them. And that's the impression when you watch this Liverpool side. It's how quick they are at getting possession back. Their speed of their play is great. They always play quite narrow, you know, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, the work ethic from the fullbacks has to be really strong to try and get crosses in. So, yeah, it's all looking very good at the minute.
Well, we mentioned all those positive stats. There is still stuff to work on, looking at the goals that have been conceded from set pieces. Still a big concern. How important is it to try and sort that out?
Yeah, I think everyone's got a problem this season because of the new rules. You see Stoke that are struggling. They've probably conceded the most, I think, in the Premier League. And then Liverpool have got a weird one. You know, I was at Premier League TV at the weekend and we've done something on Liverpool, and it's what Jurgen Klopp's done this year. I don't know if it's a thing that he done last year, but he's sort of got this two lines, if you like. And one line, the deepest line of about four or five players, all marked and zonal. And then the line of three or four just ahead of them, they're supposed to be the blockers. So they're not necessarily marking anyone at any given time. It's all zonal. And what Liverpool conceded, they never concede a goal direct from a corner or a wide free kick. It's always the second phase of play. So that's where it's hard for players to then think, well, am I still marking zonal from the second phase? Do I then pick up man for man? So, you know, it's incredibly hard. I just like to go man for man when I'm marking. But, yeah, I mean, even the chance against Swansea last week, I mean, it was a great chance with the last kick of the game that Matip just about pulled his head away, which was quite bizarre. So there is, you know, there's fine margins because that could have ended up 2-2. And luckily for Liverpool, we got the 3 points.
Yeah, looking at the other end of the pitch, there's been plenty of goals scored, as I mentioned, 10 more than this time last season. The goals have been shared about amongst different goal scorers. I think there's 7 different ones in the Premier League so far for Liverpool. How significant is that it's been shared about throughout the team, do you think?
I think it's great. I mean, listen, you can read into it that they haven't got a number 9. I always say number 9, so I just mean that as a centre forward that's not banging in, you know, 10 to 15 goals already, or 25 in total come the end of the season. But it doesn't really matter if midfielders are chipping in and defenders are chipping in, and obviously Milner's getting his goals from left back as well, a few pens. So it doesn't really matter as long as that total at the end of the year is a decent number scored, because you start scoring, you know, freely, all of a sudden it's adding so many points onto your tally in the Premier League at the end of the year, which is going to give you a great chance.
Yeah, well, one of those players who hasn't been adding too many this season, Daniel Sturridge. No Premier League goal yet, and we're in October. Bit of speculation about his future. No, I think the big thing for me has been this season, there's no real reliance on Daniel Sturridge being fit, whereas in certainly 12 months ago, you felt as though Daniel Sturridge needed to be fit out there, whereas now, if he isn't fit, he's not out there, then the team don't seem to be missing him so much. So, in terms of his long-term future, well, you know, what do you think that could be for Daniel Sturridge?
It's a difficult one when we talk about Daniel Sturridge, because I don't know if you're like me, but I've watched him and I know how good he is, and he knows how good he is, and so do the Liverpool fans. So I think we're not just talking sort of flippantly about him. We're talking about a terrific talent. You know, whenever he plays, he's got so much ability. It's untrue. Now, whether he's willing to buy into the Jurgen Klopp, you know, work ethic and really put a shift in every single game, because people like Origi do, and people like Mane and Lallana and all the guys around him, you're absolutely right. When you look at Daniel Sturridge at the minute, it's like you're looking at a player that you might want to play in the home games but not necessarily rely on him on away games. And that might be slightly unfair, but I'm only judging him because he's raised his own standards and he's raised the bar over the last couple of years. So he's got to get back to what he's capable of. That's obviously scoring goals, playing games, but less than 90 minutes, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, well, when I look at Sturridge and I think if he's on the pitch, I think we've got a chance of scoring a goal. And, you know, like you say, it hasn't happened so far this season, but I do think that given time, he will produce for us. International break, not ideal with so many players away. Lack of preparation with such a huge game coming up against United. What do you think about the timing of this international break with such a big game around the corner like United is?
Yeah, it's a hard one because, you know, when you play international football, it's a massive honour. I've been lucky enough to play for Scotland a few times and, you know, it's brilliant when you're travelling away and you're playing in huge games, but there's an eye always around the corner, and especially when this fixture comes around. You know, it's a fixture that I used to love playing in, and, you know, when you talk about Premier League fixtures, it's a standout fixture for me in the Premier League. Mm. Always has been, always sort of will be, because of the history and the heritage of both clubs. So it's a massive game around the corner, just hopefully for Liverpool and Man United's sake, obviously, that everyone comes back fit.
Well, that's the point, team news. What will it be? A big talking point has been the goalkeeper issue this season for Liverpool. Karius has come in and is number one, you would say, but he looked a little bit nervy at times against Swansea. I'm thinking, because it's such a big game like United, does Jurgen Klopp go back to the experience of Mignolet, or does he keep faith with Karius, do you think, for this one?
I think with goalkeepers, you have to be very, very careful that you're not just chopping and changing. I think you have to have a number one. And I'd be stunned if Jurgen Klopp went with Mignolet. I think now that Karius is fit and he's got that game under his belt, I think you have to go with your strongest keeper. That's why he's being brought in. I think he's a slight upgrade on Simon Mignolet, I must admit. I don't think Karius is world class, but I think he's got fantastic potential.
Did you see a lot of him last year in the Bundesliga?
I saw a lot of him. Yeah, he's very, very good. He's very good. As I said, I don't think he's, you know, and again, I'm just talking out loud. He ain't going to be in your sort of top 10 goalkeepers worldwide at the minute, but he's certainly got a lot of potential.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. Well, let's look ahead to United, the big rivals. I don't see them as title contenders this season. I think it may be a little bit early for them under Jose Mourinho. I think they'll be stronger next season. How do you look at United? Do you see them as having a chance this year, title, or still a little bit early?
I didn't at the start of the season. I had them outside the top four. But I think they're the type of side, because obviously they're a massive football club, they can go on runs where you can win two or three on the spin. I've watched the last couple of performances in depth, and I don't see a happy sort of camp, if you like, and I mean that as in I don't see United starting 11. You know, you look at Chelsea when they won the title, and you could have picked the nine players that were guaranteed to start, and over the years, especially when you watch Man United winning titles, you knew what their side's going to be. You know, I think Jose, I think he's mismanaging Paul Pogba at the minute. I don't think he should be playing as a two in midfield. I think Michael Carrick and Herrera could play that role, and Pogba could be play further forward in any of the threes, you know, the three at the top end of the pitch. But, you know, I think they're a good enough side to scratch results. I agree with you. I don't think they're going to go at the title. I don't think they'll even be in the top three.
Well, let's have a look. Are you going to sit on the fence, or are you going to be brave enough to give us a prediction going into that game? Monday night football, Liverpool United at Anfield. What's your prediction?
Well, I'll always back Liverpool to win. I'll always. The trouble with Liverpool is, I think over the years, Manchester United have got had a decent run of games at Anfield, and Juan Mata scored a worldie, I think, last season. But I think the way Liverpool are playing, if they come out the traps really sharp and really quick and really aggressive and press Man United, sort of like what Man City done, even though Man City kept the ball a lot, I think Liverpool should win the game.
Hutch, we'll let you get back to your Twins. Brilliant.
No worries.
Hutch, great to have you on.
Anytime, boys, anytime.
York, October 13th. Rush and Fowler. Birmingham, October 13th. Barnes, Garcia, McAteer. And brand new, the story of the treble season. With McAllister, Smyser and Fowler, it's in London on December 8th.
Now to a red through and through one who came through the youth ranks at the academy, won the Youth Cup, won the Reserve League before making his break into the first team. What a home debut that was against none other than Real Madrid in the Champions League. He is currently the League One Player of the Month with Bolton Wanderers. Hello and a big welcome to the Five Times podcaster, Jay Spearing. Before we get on to Liverpool, well done on that award. And how's the season going at Bolton so far?
Yeah, we're doing all right. We were four games unbeaten. Had a decent start. Got a few good results against some top teams in League One. We've hit a bit of a stalemate at the moment. Just can't seem to find the back of the net. But we're still in and around. It's still eighth place, and we're just adapting to League One, really, just getting used to how the games are going to be, and the gaff has brought in a few good players, so we're still a long way to go, but we're doing all right.
Doing all right. No wins in seven in the league, but you got a win midweek against Blackpool in the EFL Trophy. Is that what it's called? Checkered Trade Trophy, whatever it's
Checkered
called
Trade Trophy, yeah. Checkered Trade Trophy. It is, yeah.
But the introduction of the under-23s has been a big discussion within that trophy. How did you find it? Because you were beaten in the first game against Everton under-23s, weren't you?
It's a difficult one to try and say, really. It's I understand why they're doing it. The Premier League sides who've said yes, and the under 23 sides who've come in it. It's a massive experience for them. And obviously, at that age, if we had that opportunity, I think I'd be saying, yeah, it's great for us. As a League One side who's competing in the league to try and get out of a difficult situation that we're in, it's a difficult one because we've got to play five players from the weekend game who started have got to start that game. So straight away, lads who, like, when games are coming Tuesday, Saturday for us, it's a tough one to try and play them players again. But game's a game, a win's a win, and we needed that win on Tuesday, which we got, and we think we fully deserved, and it's given us a bit of confidence going into the weekend. So it was a bonus on Tuesday, to be honest with you.
I just wonder about the managers, how they approach that sort of game against an under-23 side. Now, like you say, it's a great opportunity for these young players to play in it, but for me, an English football, I don't want to be seeing youth sides, under-21s, under-23s, whatever it is, playing against senior players. The last thing I want to see is any kind of B team coming into the English structure, because I think we have a proud tradition over here and a great structure. Does the manager say anything differently when you approach that game against Everton?
The hardest thing for our gaffer is one of them. If we don't play five players, we get fined. So again, it's another one, but he tries to treat it as much as he as possibly can to as a proper game. It's a chance for lads who aren't playing weekly in the league games to get a game, so it's a chance for them to impress. He sees it as a competition that we can progress in. The Everton under-23 side who came to us, they were very lively, they were quick, they were sharp, they were full of efforts and beans, and I think it took up quite a lot of our lads by surprise, and they found themselves 1-0 down within about 20 minutes, and we kind of got ourselves back into it, but then they scored late on. But again, it's a hard one for managers at our level who are going to decide who to play, who not to play, and whether the clubs have got the money to take the final or not, really.
Well, obviously a Bolton player these days. How much do you see of Liverpool at the moment? Are you back to being a fan again?
Yeah, from the moment that I left, I've always been a massive Liverpool fan, always been one from a young age as well. So I try and watch as much as I can on weekend with my mates or through the week if there's any games on through the week and we're not playing. Saturday ones are obviously hard to watch, but I'll always see Match of the Day and see how they're getting on and try and get as much as what the way they're going at the moment. It's going to be looking forward to a good season.
How proud were you of your time at Liverpool? I think you knocked something like 55 first-team games. Do you still keep in touch with many people from back then?
Mainly, It's a tough one, to be honest. As I say, the most people I spoke to were Martin Skirtle. Still speak to him over text, a little bit each there and there. Played golf with Martin Kelly quite a bit. Obviously, he's a Palace now, but he was a good friend of mine there. Still speak to John Flanagan as well. So they're probably the main three that I really keep close knit with.
So you play golf with them, but every time I text you for a game of golf, you always bin me off.
Because you're a bandit, that's why.
Because I beat you last time, that's why. You don't want to play me
again.
That's
exactly why. Because someone said, you tell me that he's a 22 handicap and he's never been a 22 handicap, that's why.
18. Anyway, so on to Jurgen Klopp, approaching the 12-month anniversary he's been in charge. How impressed have you been with what he's doing so far at Liverpool?
I think from the moment he stepped into the club, you could see the way he's going. He adopted a squad that wasn't his, but by the end of the season, you could see the pattern and the way that he was wanting to go with that squad. And by the end of the season, I thought everyone was looking forward to next season. And everyone's not been disappointed this year. He's kicked on tremendously, and how quick and lively, how quick to get the ball back, and then some of the signs he's made as well. And I think it's exciting times at Liverpool at the moment. And as I say, from a fan's point of view, and being like an ex-player, as you say, it's something that I'm very excited about, and hope it keeps going for a long time to come.
You mentioned about those new signings. They seem to have a big clear out in the summer, one of the biggest in Liverpool history. But a few of the faces that have come in seem to have settled very, very quickly and started well in a Liverpool shirt. Who out of those new faces has impressed you?
For me, the main one's got to be Mane, I think. I think he's come in and he's hit the ground running. He just seems to be, I don't know, he seems to be so sharp and quick and find himself spacing in around the area. And I just think he's come in and helped out the likes of Firmino and Coutinho and just kicked them on as well, if I'm honest with you.
Wouldn't fancy a race with Mane, would you?
Not a chance, mate. No, he'd leave me well behind.
What about from a player's point of view? It's international break at the moment. Obviously, no European football for Liverpool this season. Do you think that freshness can play a huge part in what we're hoping will be a successful season for Liverpool?
Yeah, I think it's... Obviously, Liverpool need to be in the Champions League and Europa League, like at least the Champions League to kick on in the club that it is. This season, with having none of that, it's a big opportunity to get some silverware. Now we reached the final last year, and at the Capital One and saying he deserved that. And this year he'd be looking to, I think, main priority for us is getting the league position right and getting in the top four and maybe going for the title. And at the moment, I don't see why they can't be in the sights of Klopp, and I think they'll be in his sights as well.
Can't get you on without asking you about your time with Steven Gerrard at Liverpool, coming towards the end of his time, and his deal at LA Galaxy over in the MLS. Hinted that he may well come back. For you, how good was he to play with?
I can't explain it to you. It's one of the odd ones where it was a pleasure and an honour to be on the same field as him. It was an honour just to be in the same dressing room as him. When I first said hello to me, I was gobsmacked that he said hello. He was a hero of mine and one of them. So when I first seen him and shook his hand, it was a bit of an aura. But then to get on the field with him and play the amount of games that I did alongside him was a dream come true. And just from the moment, from day one, from the second he met him, he was helpful. He helped every young lad that came through. Even the players around him, full-grown internationals, he wasn't afraid to have a go with them if need be, and just a true leader. And I'd say he's probably one of the greatest Liverpool players that there will ever be, and even England level as well. He'll want to be the greatest England players as well. So,
What's one of your best memories with Stevie? I remember a game at Anfield against Everton when we battered Everton at home.
Yeah, we got
and
the
you
actor.
And Stevie were in central midfield, and it was an outstanding performance and one. You know, it must have been great to play him.
Yeah, no, that is.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you asked me that question, I was straight away, I knew what game I was going to mention, and straight, it was definitely that one. That was something that I'll always, because I think of that game, I think Kells was playing as well. So to go out in that game and be alongside him in the middle of the park and in a derby at Anfield, I think it was midweek as well, so the floodlights were on, and coming out with your mate that you've grown up with as well to go out and play and win that game comfortably 3-0 and put on a performance that we did. It was something that I'll never forget and cherish as well.
Jay, you've been absolutely brilliant. Swindon away for you on Saturday, an early kickoff. We'll be looking out for you, see if you can maintain this good form and hopefully end the poor run that Bolton are currently on in the league so far. So we wish you well and thanks for joining us on the Five Times podcast.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much for the phone call. Thank you.
This is the Five Times podcast, the voice of the ex-Liverpool players.
Delighted to welcome a guy we don't hear nearly enough from these days, one who made his name on Ipswich's famous UEFA Cup campaign in 1981, so much so he was voted the PFA and Young European Player of the Year. He was in the movies as well with Escape to Victory alongside Sylvester Stallone and Michael Caine, and he also scored a very impressive 42 goals in 108 games in the famous Red of Liverpool. Welcome, John Walk, to the Five Times podcast. How are you and what are you up to these days?
No, I'm fine, yeah. I'm still living down Ipswich, you know. I go and watch their games, every week. You know, I've got my own lounge where I host, and I do the radio show on the Friday night, the night before the game, and still do a lot of after dinners, and still waiting to play for the Legends of Liverpool, you know. I think I've not played for a while, so I don't know what's happened in that side.
We say that you're down at Ipswich an awful lot. You must keep an eye out for Liverpool's results. What have you made of so far this season?
Yeah, I do. I've watched all the games on the box, you know, and so far they've been very good. You know, they're not completely the team everybody wants them to be. You know, attacking-wise, they're very good, but they're still the games. Some games I've watched at the back, especially set plays, and, you know, we're letting goals in. So we've got that to sort of, you know, to fix.
Areas still to work on there, but you were a man who could play anywhere. On another player who's proving to be an invaluable asset for Liverpool, certainly at the moment, is James Milner. How impressed have you been with him?
Unbelievable. You know, I thought he was definitely a midfield player. He could play anywhere alongside the midfield. I didn't think he was better left back, but he's doing a great job there. You know, you would think some teams would maybe get at him, but they don't seem to. But every game I've seen, he seems as if he's doing the business.
Yeah, he's called it a day for England internationally. But I just think the way he's been playing for Liverpool, I think he may well have found himself called up.
Yeah, well, I think that's, he's found that position. And the way Klopp plays as well. He gets players who help him, you know, when he's in difficult situations, you know, when they're taking him on, you know, he's got players around him to help him. But on the ball, he doesn't give a ball away, you know, and I think he's been outstanding this season.
John, it was Swansea last weekend, the victory. We refused to lose a game, maybe previously, under previous regimes. We may well have lost. What did we show, do you think, by winning that game at the weekend?
I think it was a massive, yeah, it was a massive win. You know, as you say before, we would have lost it, you know, and to be fair, I thought Swansea had a lot of chances, you know, four or five chances, especially from, you know, set plays, as I said, and they missed that clear chance right at the end. So, but it was a great win, and it might come into consideration, you know, down this season at the end of it.
Yeah, certainly at half-time, you were thinking that after three great results, and then you go and perform like we did at Swansea in that first half, but it seems to be a different feel amongst this Liverpool group at the moment, and I think Jurgen Klopp has certainly had a huge impact on that.
Oh, he has. It's coming, you know, from the outside, you know, I just see he's got a major influence, and, you know, and the players love him, and you can see when they win a game, or you could see even after the Swansea game what it meant to him, because they knew they didn't play well, and as I said, to get where they are at the moment, they've done well altogether, you know, and I think they've got a great chance, because they've got to play a lot of the big teams at home, you know, and everybody's hoping so we can get back into the top four.
It's the 1 year anniversary since Jurgen Klopp took over at Liverpool on Saturday. How impressed have you been with his impact at Liverpool over that 12-month period?
Yeah, he's you know, it's got better as he's been going, you know what I mean? It's when he first came, you know, we were a bit disappointed with getting knocked out in the losing the final as such. But I think this season he's gradually getting his team, if you know what I mean, and he's brought the players in. Still think he needs maybe one or two more, especially in the defensive side, and then I think he'll be fine. He'll win trophies, and that's what we want him for.
John, I looked at some of your career stats before this, and you scored 27 goals in your first full season for Liverpool, but I remember you playing in a variety of different positions. Where would you say your best position was?
I think it's a midfield, you know. As I say, I scored all the goals, you know, for Liverpool and for Ipswich. You know, I started as a centre-back and then I ended as a centre-back, because, you know, at the end of your career your legs go a bit, so you just use your head rather. But I think I'm should be known as a goal scoring midfield player, yeah.
What are some of those memories then of your time at Liverpool?
Great. The first one, my debut, you know, I didn't think I was going to get in the team, because they won the League Cup on the Wednesday and I arrived on the Thursday, and as I say, he put me in on the Saturday in the league game, and I scored in my debut, you know what I mean? I think you've got to get off to a flyer when you join Liverpool, because there's so many great players in it and you want to stay in the team. But probably the highlight was, you know, scoring 27, you know, in my first full season, which, you know, was amazing, especially when I think I beat Ian Rush, which incredible. But I think Rush, he was injured for 10 games, so that showed you how good he was.
Wow, amazing stuff. I mean, what does it feel like for you when you do return back to Anfield?
Yeah, every time I come, even when when I came back with Ipswich and any game, I get treated, you know, really well. I love coming back to Liverpool, you know, and I've actually I've booked in for the last game of the season. We play Middlesbrough, and I'm coming here for the weekend, so I'm hoping that we could be lucky and it could be a great weekend.
I hope so. I have to ask you about your movie star time throughout your career. A timeless classic, what was that like?
It was fantastic, you know. Everybody talks about my football career, but you know, when I meet people now, they always bring that up, you know, Escape to Victory, and I was lucky enough to be in it, you know. There was five Ipswich players who were invited to go in it, and you're away for 5-6 weeks, and you're mixing the likes of Stallone, Michael Caine, Pelly, Bobby Moore, you know, Ardiles, you know, and it was the best 5 weeks I've ever had, yeah, and it was a great time.
Amazing. Well, to finish with, I was in locally where I live. I asked a Liverpool fan. He's a potato provider to the local chippy, and I said to him, "I've got John Walk on the Five Times podcast. What question should I ask him?" And from a fan's point of view, he wanted to know, how would you have adapted to today's game?
how would I adapt to that?
Yeah.
I might not have lasted long, Neil. I think because that, you know, I could get stuck in as well, you know what I mean? And I think to get today's game, there's a lot of pace and all that, but I think I'd be better if I was a centre-back in today's game, personally. You know what I mean? Because I read a lot of the situations well. But as a midfield player, as I say, I think I might have got a few red cards.
I think we wouldn't have minded seeing you in the current Liverpool first team, certainly at centre-half position. It's an area where we need to improve slightly. But thank you, John, for your time on the Five Times podcast. Thoroughly entertaining. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you very
Cheers,
much.
Cheers, Neil.
John. All the best.
This is the Five Times podcast, hosted by Neil Mellor at Ellie's in Grigsby.
As we know, the best ever Liverpool teams put huge emphasis on five-a-side. So we're doing exactly the same here on the Five Times podcast by asking Mark Lawrenson, a guy who played with most of the greats and won five league championships in close to 400 appearances for us. Lauro, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. And I didn't have to wrap my brains to do this too hard, you know.
You didn't?
Because actually, no, you know, I'll tell you for why. I could just have one player in all those positions.
Well, I haven't given you the positions yet. I'm going to give you categories rather than positions.
Well, you give me the categories and I'll tell you who it is, and then I will fill it in with the rest of them. But honestly, this is just like a detective's identity of a player.
Okay, well, first subject I'm going to give you. Player in your five-a-side team with the best vision?
Graham Souness.
And why?
Because he had the best vision. Because especially after the position that he played in, central midfield player, the great thing about him was he kind of knew where everybody was. He'd always have the ball all the time, short passes, long passes. And he just had this telepathic understanding with a certain Mr. KM Dalglish, which was like when you actually played behind them was just seriously frightening if you saw the two of them operating.
Mm. Okay, next category. The best engine.
Graham Souness. Now, listen. I was slightly joking insofar as it Graham Souness, in all these categories that we're going to hit, he could play in every single one. So I'm happy with that. So I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll give Graham the best engine. Wasn't the quickest, but I tell you what, positional wise he was incredible. But he always got there because he was just one of those players that was always ahead of everybody. So what I'll do now is I'll go back to the first one, and that has to gotta be Kenny.
Okay.
For vision because he was another, like I just said about Graham with Kenny and knowing exactly where each other were and et cetera. Him and Rushy was frightening. And I think the thing about Kenny was the best player I ever played with. I think, you know, you only kind of get his sort once every 20 years. The thing with him as well, though, he was two or three moves ahead of anybody in that team. He was a genius of a footballer, to be honest with you. He couldn't run, he couldn't edit, and he had a big backside, but what a player.
Well, it's interesting because you say he was way ahead of everyone, and I've often heard that said before, the best players were the quickest thinkers. So you're saying about the vision and how important that was for a player to have that sort of attribute.
It was just amazing. It was, and there's also, and if occasionally, you know, myself and Hanson managed to find ourselves up front, He'd just always be there for you because, you know, Hansen used to call him Jigsaw because he fell in part of the box if he had a chance. But he'd just always look for Kenny, and Kenny would just be there. I don't know. It was just, I think it's something you're born with. I don't think you can teach it to anybody. But, oh, my goodness, he certainly had it in abundance.
So, vision, King Kenny.
Yeah.
Engine, Graham Souness. Let's go with left foot.
Barnsley.
Okay.
It was either Barnsley or Alan Kennedy. No, only joking. Barnsley, when he first came, everybody knew about his abilities in terms of dribbling and how good his left foot was and all that kind of stuff. But the real bonus for Liverpool was he defensively, he was great. They didn't have to teach him anything. You know, you've been there, Mel's, with Ronnie Moran screaming at you, like to be in certain positions. He never had to scream at Barnsley, but he had a wand of a left foot. And I mean, when he ran at people, he was he was quick without being too rapid, if you understand what I meant. But he had fantastic balance, played with his head up all the time. And the ball never seemed to leave his foot. It was as though it was glued onto him. And he just, you know, because he was such a good passer and such a good creator. And if there wasn't anything on, he just beat a person. And if still wasn't anything on, he beat another person until he eventually found someone with a left foot. Great, great technique.
Any standout moments for you personally with Barnsley?
I mean... He scored a goal. I don't know if you guys would remember. I think it was against QPR.
Seeing it, yeah.
I think QPR might have been quite early in the season, top of the league, and they came to Anfield, and he scored a wonder goal, but he sliced them open, and I think QPR, I'm pretty sure we beat them quite comfortably. But I think that day they realised they were getting nowhere near winning the league, because obviously London press, QPR, great story. Can they win the league? No.
Fair enough. Maybe a little bit more of a tougher category. Left footer, obviously, Barnsley filling that one, but right footer, because you've obviously played with so many, comfortable. Who would you pick for that one?
Have I got to have played with them all? Or can I cheat?
How are you going to cheat?
I'm going to cheat by saying Stevie G.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll accept that.
I mean, who wouldn't want his right foot? I mean... The year that we nearly won the league when Brendan was manager, I mean, those passes from Stevie to Suarez were just unbelievable. You know, you're talking about 35, 40 yards, like dinked over or driven over or bent round. Position, absolutely frightening. And you know, you played in that position where it's always, always hectic. So if you didn't, the thing with Stevie as well is he didn't have a trick insofar as he didn't really drop his shoulder. He just kind of knew when the ball came to him where it was going in an instinct. And then with the Suarez fella, he knew that, you know, he would just, wherever Stevie put it, that he would be on the end of it.
Right, we've done left foot Barnsley, right foot Stevie G. Final category, the hard man. Who's the hard man you picking?
Well, this is probably going to surprise you a little bit. I'm going to pick Ronnie Whelan.
Yeah.
Because he was an assassin. You know, when I said to you at the start of this that Souness could have fit all categories, and he would definitely asserted that the hard man, and he was hard, but he was obvious. Ronnie just had this ability to arrive a split second late, and in those days of tackling, you know, he just made sure that he caught somebody. And the great thing for him was he caught loads of people. I remember we played Southampton at home. He had a big centre-back called Chris Nicol. You've heard of him. Big, ugly bugger, but, you know, really, really nice lad. Ronnie topped him. And Chris Nicol spent most of the game running after him, trying to top him back. But, of course, Souness just kind of turned around and said, Chris, if you top him, you got to deal with me. So, I mean, the thing died a death. But he was, Ronnie was phenomenal. But nobody ever realised it. And, you know, Case, Souness, McMahon, all those guys that have played in there, Ronnie was our assassin. In fact, he was our silent assassin. And by the way, he could play as well and used to get you a really important goal.
Mm. Well, what a side that is. What a five-a-side. We've not even got a goalkeeper in there, which is good to see. Vision, King Kenny, hard man, Ronnie Whelan, left foot Barnsley, right foot Stevie G, and the best engine, Graeme Souness. But as you said, throughout that, many of them could have fulfilled all those categories. Right, to finish, we've got a quick fire few questions for you.
Whoa.
Swansea overlooked Ryan Giggs for Bob Bradley. Was that a good decision or a bad decision for Swansea?
I think they will think it's a good decision because they've got American owners. So, you know how the Americans can talk. So, and I think Ryan Giggs, I don't think his interview, audition, whatever you want to call it, went particularly well. I was not surprised at all.
Next one. United next for Liverpool. Will United come good this season for Mourinho?
If you think by saying come good, they're going to finish in the Champions League, I think it's really touch and go. I don't think he knows his best team as yet, and that's really unusual for Mourinho. So, it might take a longer time span for them.
Last one. Is there any way back for Sacco here at Liverpool?
Yeah. There's always a way back. Listen, you know, we've all done daft things. We've all made mistakes. We were fortunate in our day. We didn't have Twitter and Facebook and all those
Snapchat,
kind of stuff where
which
you,
is his
you vent
one.
Your spleen. Yeah, but you know, but yeah, there is. This is what I think about it is. I think Sacco's actually potentially a really good player. Why wouldn't you try and do everything to make sure that he is a really good player for your team? Mm.
Top four this season, Laura. Who are you going for?
City, Arsenal, Liverpool and Tottenham.
Yes, I agree with that. Right, brilliant way to finish with the quickfire questions. Can't let you go, though, without asking about Jurgen Klopp. It's 12 months since he's been in charge on Saturday. How do you think he's done?
I think he's done great. And I think when you go a lot of games, which I do, see loads of football, and you go to Premier League matches and you speak to managers and coaches and all those kind of guys, and they, to a man, they all want to know all about him. And you just know that when he arrived at our football club, the rest of the Premier League, sort of all the supporters of United, City, Arsenal, Chelsea, all those kind of teams went, whoa, he's going to make them really good again. And they're not wrong.
What do you think he's done that's brought to give us the optimism, to make us into believers, as he said?
What do I think he's done? I think the fact is, he's every player's friend, but he's not the best friend, which is a great trait to have. And he has this thing which is, he's just so driven, but he manages to take people with him. And I think, you know, he knows exactly the way that he wants to play. And I think the thing with players is he celebrates when they play well, but we know he's got a dark side. We know obviously steams into them when they're not playing particularly well. But he's got it, whatever it is, Mels. And you know, some people are born with it. We've spoken before about things like vision in football. He's just got this thing. He's got a presence about him. I think he makes people believe that they can possibly do things that they can't. And top managers make top players better. He can do that.
Laura, brilliant. Excellent stuff. Thanks for coming on to the Five Times podcast.
Pleasure.
Coming soon to a city near you, the Liverpool Legends. For more information and ticket prices, check out our websites, fivetimes.co.uk.
That's it for tonight on the Five Times podcast. Hope that gave you some light relief amidst all the withdrawal symptoms. Of course, it's the international break. No game for Liverpool this week, and we all know what's coming next, that big one against Manchester United. But things are good. We've obviously just beaten Swansea, so good feel about things at the moment. My huge thanks on the Five Times podcast to this episode of Don Hutchison, Jason.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Spearing, John Walk, and of course, Mark Lawrenson. I'm back next week. Thanks for downloading.